Your organization's website is 2 weeks into a new look, and according to the compartmentalized spreadsheet data I found, the Sinclair Broadcasting Group has the capacity to reach more than 70% of the nation's public. Do you think their recent little snafu is likely to have any impact on the proposed merger between them and the Tribune Company?
I believe that it very well could. There has been an immense public backlash since Deadspin, which is a sports site, published the compilation of newscasters talking along a script that Sinclair had provided. People have realized that this type of cookie-cutter news model is a disservice to communities around the country, and the efforts that the FCC is now undertaking to lift media consolidation limits could very well face a public that now realizes just how bad it is when you allow one company to control the news and information agenda across so many local news stations. We've spent nearly the last 15 years working on this issue of media consolidation. The FCC, which is the federal agency that is supposed to oversee media broadcast licenses, has as its central mandate to promote diversity, competition, and localism over the airwaves. And this federal agency has largely failed in doing that by allowing companies like Sinclair to amass so many local stations. Because when you have one owner who controls so much of local media, of course, it has a direct effect on local competition. It creates a problem for diversity of views. Sinclair is famous for requiring that their various anchors read from the same script. They often provide must-run video commentary that the stations must put into their local news programming. When you have one company that controls so many local stations, there's a problem with the localism. And one of the things that this FCC is trying to do, or has done, I should say, is gotten rid of what's called the main studio rule, which is a rule that the FCC had that would require that a company maintain a studio within the vicinity of its local station. So this FCC under Ajit Pai has really been kicking out all of the stops that would allow the Sinclair merger to go through. Sinclair, which already has in the neighborhood of 180 stations, is looking to buy up Tribune Media, a company which owns more than 40, to create this even larger media conglomerate that would have the potential to reach, I think it's about 72% of the U.S. population.
This report from 2016, it was the term news desert as an emerging threat. I've seen other colorful expressions used to describe what the owners of 16 Colorado newspapers have done as strip mining the papers. Have you any advice on how the average reader might recognize the attributes of venues run in such a fashion, or what the landscape of this kind of desert looks like?
Well, I can give you a good example because I live in a news desert. I live in the state of New Jersey. The problem with New Jersey is that it has a very populous broadcast market to the south around Philadelphia and another populous broadcast market to the north around New York City. And what happens is that when you turn on your television in New Jersey, you don't get local news. If you're in the northern half of the state, news about New York City. And if you're in the southern half of the state, you get news about Philadelphia. And so there is a lack of reporting in New Jersey about New Jersey. So that's one example of what a news desert looks like. And of course, that's a problem if you're someone who wants to get better informed about local politics, local elections, issues that may be of concern to your community. You may want to hear voices from your community, but it's hard to find those if your station is solely focused on covering news from Philadelphia or any other city that's outside of your state.
According to that UNC report, between 2004 and 2014, the level of investment firm ownership of newspapers jumped from 20 to 47%, while both privately held and publicly owned properties both shrunk from a combined 80% to 53%. When did it become apparent to you that Wall Street had set its sights on media ownership, and have you since come to develop any theories as to what heightened their interests?
Well, I think one of the things that sort of a hidden fact about local news, believe it or not, oftentimes local newspapers, which we have often spoken about as a dying business model, are actually profitable. That is to say that they take in more money than they spend in order to run their operations. So I think a lot of these hedge fund managers thought that it would be good to buy a number of newspapers that are being sold below market value, to strip them of their local capacity, which is sort of a long way of saying to fire local journalists and lessen the cost of each of those papers and then resell them at a profit. Now, that may look good on paper in the boardroom, but when you go for community by community where you're seeing a wholesale layoff of journalists, you get these news desert situations where there's no longer enough journalists on the beat to cover local news and information, and civic life suffers as a result. It's hopeful to see, despite all the bad news coming out of Denver, for example, where the Denver Post has lost a lot of local journalists because they're in a similar situation, is that there are efforts within that community to actually raise the funds to buy that newspaper from this hedge fund and operate it as a corporation that has one of its central mandates to serve that community.
I've been talking with Senior Director of Strategy and Communications at Free Press, Timothy Carr. For more information, you can visit their website at freepress.net. For KGNU, this is Robin Ryan.